My paternal grandmother, who lived with us when we were a child, in my memory, kept the Christmas cake going by eating very small slices with an afternoon cup of tea, at least into the first week of February, but I may have been wrong. Thing about Christmas cake is that it's the one thing too much, isn't it? It can be the straw that breaks the camel's back. It's the one thing, isn't it? You've had all this marvelous Christmas food, and there's the Christmas cake. And you've squeezed in a mince pie, but it's got to 4 o'clock on Christmas Day, and you've heard the king, and you think, oh, slice of Christmas cake. No, it's too much, too much. I put it to you that Christmas cake goes better after Christmas. And I further put it to you that kings, like Christmas cake, go better after Christmas. The Magi goes better after Christmas. I wouldn't deny, and haven't denied, the opportunity for children to come in during the Nativities dressed as kings and to bring a camel in. I draw the line at a live one. But there's a danger, isn't there? A danger that the kings, the Magi, and all that goes with them is a supplementary bit of Christmas. Maybe one thing too many, like a slice of Christmas cake on Christmas Day. But I would suggest that the kings are central to the message of Christmas and the direction that that message will take, the direction that God will take the message of Jesus' birth in. It's very easy, I think, to get caught up in the speculation about the Magi and the star. We can kind of spend time with that, and that's important. It's important to reflect in that way about the historical nature of Scripture. It's important that we do that. Scripture has historical foundation, and we need to engage with that. It's important. What we do have, though, is what Scripture records, the Magi. And that's a sort of catch-all phrase that can embrace, in the ancient world, all sorts of activities, a wide variety of activities linked to the movement of heaven, of the heavens, and human destinies. The two are bound up together in the ancient world. The way the heavens move and the way human lives move are bound together. And the Magi are engaging with those things, exploring those things. And it's an interesting relationship, I think, here between the Magi, the kings, and Israel. They've heard of the Messiah. They've heard of the messianic hope of Israel. Probably also heard of Israel's torturous history of occupation, of exploitation, of manipulation. They've heard of all this. And yet they are the ones who come to Israel and announce to Israel, foretell to Israel, that the Messiah has been born. And this is all by God's grace, all by God's grace, God's intervention, God using human activity, God using human understanding, human intellect, human searching, human desiring. And again, with the relationship between the wise men, the Magi, and Israel, there's a contrast here that Matthew presents to us between the eagerness of the Magi to worship the Messiah and the apathy of the religious leaders and downright hostility and enmity of Herod, the king himself. The Magi are sincere and persistent in their search. They would have to be to travel in those days. Travel wasn't easy. It wasn't an easy occupation, easy thing to do. It was difficult and dangerous. And you kind of weighed your options before venturing out. And what's very interesting is that the Magi, if they're people of money, if they're people of influence and power, they don't send other people to do it, do they? They go themselves. Kings and rulers send ambassadors and emissaries, don't they? But here the Magi do not do this. They go on a journey. And that journey, each step is directed by God. And when they find Jesus, the homage they offer is for a king. They fall down. I also think they fall down in relief. We got here. Thank goodness the journey's over. But also, I think, more fundamentally, they offer their homage, their obeisance to a king, to an earthly king. And the gifts they offer are expensive and fit for a king. Rare stuff. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. We all get on with gold, don't we? But the other two are more mysterious to us, more tied to their historic context, more tied to the ancient world. Rare gifts, rare things, precious things, important things, costly things. The homage and the gifts of the Magi are appropriate and necessary for a mighty king, a mighty earthly king. But they also foretell Jesus' trajectory. Where's this child going to go? What's this child going to become? What sort of king will he become? What sort of Messiah lies before them or stands before them as a toddler? What sort of child will he become? And we know now that he'll be a suffering Messiah. We know now that he will offer people to God and God to people. He will mediate as the incense smoke rises. He will build a bridge between this world and God's world, earthly kingdoms and God's heavenly kingdom. He will mediate and he will suffer. He will suffer death on the cross. We know all this. All this is foretold, not through words. Mary and Joseph aren't telling the Magi, the kings, all about it. There's no signposting, no headlines, no bright lights over the house explaining all this. It is what God places on the king's hearts, the wisdom that he gives to those wise men, his wisdom. His wisdom which embraces this world and reveals the next. The openness and the sincerity, the guilelessness, the innocence of the wise men of the kings is something to note, and perhaps we don't always reflect upon it. The Magi do not play the power game. They don't use their influence. They don't play the games of the powerful. They don't play the games of the fearful. They do not play Herod's game, the sordid game of those who have power and are scared to lose it. Their openness forces Herod in trouble and trepidation to consult the religious leaders. And all Jerusalem is troubled with him. I don't think they're troubled because they want Herod to remain in power. I don't think they're troubled because the Messiah has come. They are troubled, I think, because they fear his cruelty. what is going to happen. And with good reason. Because what is going to happen is the slaughter of the innocents. They know what a cruel king, what a fearful king can do. What someone is capable of doing if they are confronted by a child, by the innocence of a child, and see that as a threat. That's their trouble. And also our trouble in these days. When Herod speaks to the religious leaders, we get shepherd language, don't we? Shepherd thy people, his people, Israel. And Jesus will become the good shepherd who will give his life for the sheep, or lay down his life for the sheep. That great and good shepherd being contrasted even in his earliest days with the false shepherds of Israel. Jesus, that true shepherd for us here today, with us, tending, protecting, nurturing, gentle and compassionate, childlike. And there is a sense that Jesus remains a child, God's son. Childlike in his obedience, childlike in his trust, childlike in his compassion and eagerness to embrace. Jesus there for us, that good and great shepherd, but also the one who is rejected, the one who is persecuted, the one who is put to death on the cross, dying and rising again. And in rising, drawing his people from all the ends of the earth. We don't know, and can't know, and perhaps shouldn't know, where the Magi came from. They come from the east, from somewhere other. They are drawn by God. They make that journey in their own strength and by their own efforts. They make that journey in openness and honesty. They are a model for us in that seeking of God, in that journeying. A journey we make not in our own strength, but through God's strength. So many of us journey. We all journey. Sometimes we think that the journeys we make are in vain. There will be no destination. But the great truth of the Magi is that all journeys have a destination. Our journeys have destinations. And the ultimate destination is God himself. And the ultimate destination is this God who comes to us in a child, in a baby, who comes to us in the midst of the brokenness of our world, in the midst of the schemings and plottings and cruelties of our world. It comes to us and is with us in order to change us and our world. Amen.